We're not talking about punching a time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark. All right, got a good show lined up for today. Mr. Kent Watkins from SEI Agritech will be in here for segment 2, 3, and probably 4. Me and him get to chit-chat, and it takes up the whole show. But anyway, we got lots to talk about there and do a little bit of follow-up on the starter fertilizer we was talking about yesterday with Wayne Becker. And first of all, let's get her rolling. Looks like 94 degrees at Buffalo, 95 at Fairview, 93 at Cheyenne, home of the secret weapon, 93 at Hollis. Warm spot in the state right now is 98 degrees down in Granville. Let's see what's happening in the Texas Panhandle. It looks like it's 94 at Canadian, 93 at Dozer, 92 at Childress, 94 at Wellington. It's just hot. Heat advisories are out for everywhere, period. So anyway, let's get on with it. Let's see what happened overnight in the agricultural world. Soybeans were lower in overnight trading and positive results from the Pro Farmer Crop Tour that's entering its third day. Participants on the western half of the tour including farmers, traders, and others in the ag industry made their way through Nebraska, where they estimated the number of soybean pods in a 3x3 area at 1,160, and that's up from 1,064 a year earlier. Corn yield in the state was pegged by Tour at 167.2 bushels an acre. That's up from the previous estimate from last year at 158.5 bushels of corn. Still, soybean counts were down 3% from three-year average, and corn yield was down 2.8%. The eastern leg of the tour rolled through Indiana yesterday, where soybean counts were seen at 1,310 pods in a 3x3 square, and that's up from 1,166 a year earlier, and it's above the three-year average of 1,229. Corn yield in Indiana was pegged at 180.9 bushels an acre, up from this year's earlier projection of 177.9 bushels, but 1.5% below the average. Yesterday's results followed Monday that showed soybean counts in South Dakota were up 16% year over year, and forecast for corn yield jumped a whopping 33% from 2022. But always keep in mind, when I talk about these yields from other states and stuff, remember last year South Dakota and North Dakota was in a pretty serious drought. So, yeah, might be up 33%, but that don't mean it's a record. Ohio pod counts from the tour were estimated to rise 11%, and corn yield rose 5.6% year over year, according to the data from the Crop Scouts. Last night, soybeans for November delivery on the Chicago Board of Trade fell 12.5 cents to 1,333.5. Overnight on the Chicago Board of Trade, soy meal lost 250 to 392.50 a short ton, while soy oil declined 0.46 cents to 61.34 cents a pound. Corn futures for December delivery gained 1¼ cents to 480¾ a bushel. Wheat futures for September delivery fell 1½ cents at Chicago to 626, while Kansas City lost 3¼ cents to 753¾ cents a bushel. Deere and Company likely will enter the fiscal 2024 with low dealer inventories, and positive farm fundamentals are supporting those looking to buy as part of the company's early order program. Analysts from there said in a note to clients, the manufacturer of ag and construction equipment said in a recent earnings report that net sales jumped 12% year over year in the third quarter to $15.8 billion. Sales in the first three quarters of fiscal 23 surged 24% from the same period a year earlier. Production ag sales in third quarter were up 12% to $6.81 billion. Small agriculture and turf revenue increased 3% year over year to $3.74 billion, the company said. Construction and forestry sales gained 14% to $3.74 billion. I figured they was a little bit more heavier in that construction deal, but I guess not. Deere said it sees sales for its production and precision ag segment up 20% this year from the last year. The small ag and turf business will be up about 5%, and construction and forestry sales will rise about 15 to 20%, they're estimating. Their analysts said that they believe Deere is in a good spot from a technical, logical aspect as the leading manufacturer of ag equipment in the industry. In recent corporate reorganization, focusing on production system enables it to be more customer-centric while freeing up capital invest into value-creating technologies. As we all know, technology's come a long way since the old 40-20. We believe DE has an advantage in machine connectivity. It's a machine of learning capabilities, provides a data advantage, and develops fully autonomous, I hope I said that right, solutions. We believe Deere is well positioned to deliver improved mid-cycle margins through a combination of high value capture and self-help supporting their construction outlook. How about that? Well, we all know the heat's here. Maps from the National Weather Service remain red throughout much of the U.S. Corn Belt as heat waves continue. In northern and central Missouri, values will range from 105 to 115. Extreme heat warnings will remain in effect until at least Friday evening. In eastern Oklahoma, meanwhile, indexes today will top 117, leaving overnight temperatures only as low as around 80%, leaving little relief from the heat. You guys remember, cattle need for the temperatures to be in the low 70s and upper 60s to cool down at night. So go out, make sure you double check your water. And until this heat wave's over, if there's any way possible, make sure your cattle have shade. That's all I can say. Even if you have to pull a semi-trailer out there or something, just to give them some shade, because if their body don't cool down, feedlots are the worst. But out here in the pastures, I noticed this morning my cattle were already laying down at 8:30 in the shade. They're done. Do what?
My cows went to the shade about 8:30 this
morning. They were done. Hey, we've had all this. So if your cows are laying down during the day, guess what? Your production's low. So anyway, and just take care of your cattle the best you can. Update on some grains real quick before we go to break and get in here with Kent and talk about all kinds of good stuff. My favorite Wednesday of the month when he shows up. Corn, September 475, December 488. Everything's in the green in the grains today. Oil's down, grains are up. Imagine that. Soybeans for September, 1358, November, 1359. Soybean meal for September, 41210, October, 40420. Soybean oil for September, 6603. And hard red winter wheat, September, 754, up 14. It's up 15 for December at 762. Oats are even up at 441 for September, 465 for December. Live cattle for August, up 40 at 40 cents, that is, at 178.35. October's 179.22, up 6, and 183.45 for December. And February live cattle, 187.70. Feeder cattle are down just a nickel at 245.45 for August, and up 7 cents at 249.07 for September. Lean hogs are down 78.75 October, 71.05 December. February 75.35. Cotton's up a little bit today, both October and December at 84 cents a pound. Speaking of cotton, I want to welcome a new sponsor of the show. As soon as I, my computer messed up on me. Bear with me here. Anyway, I wanted to give a big shout out to Western Planters Cotton Gin down there north of Hobart. Welcome to the Today in Ag Show, and thank you for being a sponsor of the show. I got the cotton people are coming around finally. I get some information out of somebody sooner or later. Yeah, so anyway, I talked to Brad Harrison at the North Fork Electric Co-op business meeting the other day at Sayre, and we've got a couple of cotton farmers here in Oklahoma from Altus and other places that are getting up on those cotton boards, and so hopefully we'll get some good information from them.
Have you gotten Jimmy Smith in here yet?
Yes, I have.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm shocked.
Yeah, me too. I was totally shocked. I think he was trying to keep his son from getting in a bind.
Maybe so.
So, anyway, yes, Jimmy Smith actually been in here twice now. One was talking about some stuff going on with the that conservation award that they won. The Smith family was awarded, and then he came in one other time to talk about how cotton has changed from the 60s and 70s to now.
Not even close to the same thing.
Oh, it's not. No, there ain't no stomping cotton no more and pulling trailers through the middle of Elk City no more.
No, we don't do that anymore.
And there ain't cotton burrs flying all over downtown. No. So you remember those days?
I do.
That was something. You'd always drive by there. God, I'm glad I don't work there. So anyway, well, we're going to take a break. When we get back here with Kent with SEI Agitech, we're going to talk about, as always, we'll talk about the five pillars of soil health, and we're going to follow up on some stuff yesterday from the starter fertilizers. And then any time during the show you guys have a question for Kent to do with soil health, seed, feed, whatever you got, be free to text in to the text line at 580-225-9697 with any questions you have. Well, let's take a break, and today is the Taylor Ranch Happy Hour, and when we get back, I'll tell you a little bit about the Taylor Ranch. We'll be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Do you love the great outdoors? Maybe you enjoy trap shooting or skeet shooting, or maybe getting some target practice in at the firing range is your thing. If you're that person, you love guns. Hobart Farm and Garden has a whole room dedicated to guns, gun safes, ammunition, and more. It's quite impressive. You got to go check it out. They are Western Oklahoma's platinum Browning dealer and Glock stocking dealer. They're located at 1030 South Monroe in Hobart, Oklahoma. If they don't have it, you don't need it. Hobart Farm and Garden.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
SEI Agritech in Elk City is now an Oklahoma authorized distributor for Avanta Seeds, offering Avanta Seed in corn, forage sorghum, and milo. Avanta Seeds is focused on sustainable agriculture and providing farmers with quality seed. Avanta is now offering 0% financing through December 2023. So stop by SEI Agritech on South Randall or give Kent a call at 580-225-0317 for more details on Avanta Seeds. The future begins with a seed.
You worked, and you sweat, and you worried for months over your crop. So why are you giving away part of the profit to someone else? Cut out the middleman. Keep your grain on your farm. Keep your money for yourself. A grain bin on your farm will never depreciate as long as you use it, and it'll make you as much money as you want it to make. Store your own grain in your own bin. Wall Bin Hoppers. Take a look at their website, wallequip.com. Wallequip.com. You did all the work. You should keep all the profit.
It's known as the thief in the night. A lack of cattle mineral can lead to decreased weaning weights, small, weak calves, and severely compromised health. Don't let a gap in your feeding program rob your herd's performance. Stop by Farmers Union Co-op in Elk City and pick up a bag of Purina Wind and Rain Storm Mineral today. Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City is your authorized Purina dealer.
When your tractor has a flat, you're stuck. When your truck's on a construction site and a tire goes down, you're in trouble. You need help. So you call down to Blair, and they come to you. They answer the phone, and somebody comes to wherever you are to fix your problem. They carry Firestone, Michelin, and some other tires. Blair Tire and Feed, Highway 283 and 19. On-site tire service, 563-2692. 563-2692. They come to you.
Hey, Today in Ag listeners, this is Jared Clark with South Star JCB. We carry a variety of wheel loaders, excavators, telehandlers, skid steers, and several other types of equipment. Please give me a call at 469-325-7466. That's 469-325-7466. Check us out on the web, southstartxjcb.com. That's southstartxjcb.com. I'd love to sell you one. Thank you and God bless you.
He loves talking about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, currently here at the Gabe Gadget Mezzanet Center, we got 88.9 degrees, humidity is 46, and the winds are out of the south here in the metro area of Elk City, about 3 miles an hour. If you get out in the country, I'm sure it's blowing a little bit more. Pick Dozer, Texas, for your Texas Panhandle update. 93, heat index at 93, humidity's at 34, dew point 61, the winds are out of the south at 14 miles an hour. Peak wind gust so far today has been 20. So far, month-to-date precipitation, which is really good, actually, for Dozer for August, 1.52 inches of rain. 8-inch soil temperature is 87 degrees. There's 7 degrees difference in the soil temperature between Odell, which is south of Altus, to Dozer, and it's not that far across their deal, but that's a quite a bit of difference in soil temperature. Just more bare down there around Odell, I'm sure. Huh?
For sand.
Yeah, it's warm, but anyway. Welcome to our monthly meeting, Mr. Watkins.
Thank you for having me.
And anyway, the gentleman we had on yesterday was great, and we'll get to him in just a minute. He had a lot. I could have talked to him for 2 hours.
Yeah, he's a PhD.
Yeah.
So he knows how it works.
Yeah, because I warned him. I said, you got to keep this conversation on people's IQ level the same as mine.
Yeah, he can get as technical as you want to get.
Oh, yeah, and he knows his stuff.
Yeah.
And that's pretty cool. So, anyway, we've got into this is our second dome of heat. And it's hard on everything, animals, crops, even just dirt. It's hard on dirt, period.
Yeah, if the soil's bare, I bet if you went out there at high noon and took a soil temperature, it'd probably be 145 degrees or so.
Right.
Probably.
I got my heat temperature gun today.
Yeah.
So I'm going to stop somewhere out here today and take a bare soil temperature and go where there's cover crop, and I'll announce my findings tomorrow.
I'll bet you there's 40 degrees difference.
40?
At least.
Be interesting to find out. Mm-hmm. I got my temperature gun with me today.
Yep.
So yep. We'll see what's going on. Because, you know, the corn that we have down at Granite under the pivot, we left the stover on there from last year's corn crop and no-tilled wheat in there. And then we left the wheat stubble from the wheat crop on there. And it, when you first drove up there, you thought, well, that corn looks okay, you know, for being 2 or 3 weeks old. But that wheat stubble threw it off.
Right.
That wheat stubble was boot high to knee high. And the corn, it looked like it was like a foot tall, but actually it was above your knees.
Yeah.
It looked great. It was just growing.
And all that keeps the soil cooled off.
Right.
You know, so you don't kill microbes.
And it holds the moisture.
There you go.
Yep, because there was a lot of dust flying in Greer County yesterday.
Yeah, well, okay then.
So, anyway, well, let's start out with our five pillars of soil health.
Okay, we'll start where we always start. and the five pillars of soil health. Our first one for us in the Southern Plains is always armor on the soil. You got to keep the ground cooled off, covered up. Second one is low disturbance when planting. So that means, you know, a no-till type drill or a no-till type planter. No tillage. That means take all your tillage equipment and sell it, and or at least park it. Diversity in plants, so you can get diversity in growth and diversity in root systems in the cover crops. That's by far the best. And then the last one is livestock, where it fits. If you don't have water on the place, then it doesn't fit there. But, you know, if you can have reasonable fence or a hot wire and you can water, you can do it without livestock, but it gets you there faster with livestock.
Right.
So those are the five. Those are the cornerstone of the whole cover crop soil health movement. And it's a worldwide movement now.
Right.
A couple of Ray Archuleta, some people will know who he is. He has just gotten back from Chile, and he's done some work in Saudi Arabia recently. And I would think that would be a harsh environment to work in Saudi Arabia.
Right.
So it's worldwide now. People are starting to understand it more and more all the time.
Has he said anything about what was going on in Saudi, what he was doing?
He was working on small grains over there.
Okay.
Everything over there is obviously, for the most part, under a pivot, and everything's controlled by the royal family. So,
right.
It's not like here at all. When they decide they do something, they don't care the cost. They just go do it.
Right.
So that's kind of where that's at.
Yeah, because I spent a lot of time in Saudi and Iraq, and that's some God's forbidden country.
Yeah. It is.
I mean, there is, but you can, if you can figure it out and you got the water, you know, because you read, I read one of these, I don't know if it's probably fake news, but I read one of these deals where, you know, they were talking about how some Saudi has bought up a bunch of farmland in Arizona, mm-hmm. and irrigating out there, mm-hmm. because they're not allowed to irrigate in Saudi, which I knew was crap when they said that. Right there, but I don't want to finish the story. And it's, you know, why would the Saudis not want to use their own water? And I mean,
I think the oil money skews everything they do,
right?
To where it's not relatable to you and me,
right?
Is what, yeah. I really think.
And I mean, don't get me wrong, when I was over there in Saudi, we during Desert Storm, we had semi loads. A bottled water, because mm-hmm. That was our water source. You weren't going somewhere with a potable water trailer to go get water in Saudi.
Probably not.
And the Bedouins, the big cattle ranchers of the desert, you know, they come mm-hmm. through there with their goats and camels and stuff, and we would trade them water, bottles of water for vegetables to mix in with our MREs, because that's when we come up with our own menus. Because,
oh, yeah.
I mean, it's just, you know, you had to drink 10 bottles of water to one package of MREs to stay hydrated. Yeah, so anyway, so water is very valuable in the Middle East.
Right.
So anyway, but that soil over there just didn't look like it was good for nothing but blowing.
That's all it'll do is blow. They've lost all their organic matter over the centuries, and now they're finally starting to address that issue.
Yep.
So anyway.
Be interesting to follow that, mm-hmm. and see how that goes. Because, like I said, if you can take ground like
that
and make something out of it and farm it the right way, it'd be interesting to see. Well, yesterday, Wayne Becker with Nutrient Fertilizer was on yesterday, and it was pretty interesting. And you're one of the dealers for him here in Western Oklahoma. I'm sure you listened yesterday. You got any follow-ups on that?
Yeah. Okay, so Wayne is PhD. He's with Nature's Fertilizer. Nature's Fertilizer, if you weren't listening yesterday, is a low salt starter and Foliar Fertilizer Company. They've been around since the mid-40s, so they know how to do it. They have approximately 30 products in their lineup. I'm only going to talk about two.
Okay.
The starters came around this country about 20 years ago, and people tried to use them the wrong way.
How?
Well, they tried to make the starters take the place of the commodity fertilizers, and that's not what they are. That's not how they're built.
Okay.
So starter fertilizers are not commodity fertilizers. So you don't compare them to 28 or 32 or urea or 10-34-0. They're just not the same thing. All of those products are high salt commodity type fertilizers. They're just not starter fertilizers are just not meant to be used that way. So think of a starter fertilizers as baby food. So if you have an infant at the house, you wouldn't dream of feeding that infant steak or hamburger or cauliflower or anything like that.
Not unless he was born with teeth.
There you go. So, you know, animals have an infant stage of life. Plants have an infant stage of life. So all those, you know, we're talking about the plant world, they need their baby food too. So consider starters in the drill row, since we're fixing to head in here to wheat sowing time, as baby food. So what you want to do is spread your commodity fertilizer ahead of the drilling, or after, it doesn't matter, and put the starters on the drill and put the starter in the row directly with the seed, not on top. That's, I guess, second or third best. Not on top of the soil, trailing the closing wheel, because you got to remember, in our country, we're trying to get phosphorus to the seed. None of the phosphate fertilizers move in the soil very well, so you want to place it with the seed, so when it germinates and sends out its root system, that fertilizer is right there all the time to get through that infant stage of life. If you were using, say, 10-34-0, that's a polyphosphate. So if you have been using 10-34-0, or let's say you've mixing 10-34 and 32, or UAN 32 or 28, and using that as a starter, only about a third of that 10-34-0, the 34 part, the phosphorus part, is available. And it takes time and heat and all that he talked about yesterday to make it available. But in that period of time that it's trying to become available, it's also reacting with everything else going on in that soil profile. So in low pH soils, it's reacting mainly, in our country, with aluminum. That's not a good deal.
Right.
And in a high pH.
Did he say aluminum and iron yesterday?
Yeah.
Is that what he said?
Right. Yep. But for us, it's more aluminum than anything else. On the other end of the spectrum, if you're in a high pH, then it's mainly calcium. The phosphorus is getting tied up. Well, did you spend your money to tie up phosphorus, or did you spend your money to, you know, to make it plant available? So what they have developed, nature's has developed, is I'm going to talk about two of them. They're orthophosphates, which means they are more readily available to that infant seed.
Yep.
So the two that, so let's just, before I get into specific fertilizers, let's assume that you have been using 10-34 or 10-34-0 and a 32 mix, and let's just say it's 50-50, and you're putting down 8 to 10 gallons. You can use one of these 90% or 100% ortho fertilizer, starter fertilizers, at half the rate. Say if you've been using 10, you go to 4 or 5 gallons of the starter and do a better job with getting that plant off to a good start at the same money, or maybe a little bit less money.
Yeah.
So it's a good way to get the plant, the crop off to a good start.
Well, let's stop right there and take a Taylor Ranch break. And when we come back, we'll pick that up, because his definition yesterday of between the poly and the ortho was, that was pretty good explanation he gave yesterday, where the ortho is one molecule.
One molecule.
And, but the poly is a bunch of them.
It's a chain.
It's a chain. Yep. And that chain will tie it up.
That's right.
And where the ortho will go to work.
So you have to break that chain apart to make it work.
Right. So anyway, let's take a break. We'll come right back. I got Kent Watkins with SEI Agritech on here on the Today in Ag Show with Jimmy Clark. Be right back.
Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, cotton farmers, are you walking in high cotton? It's easier than you think. Have your cotton ginned fast and efficiently at Western Planters Cotton Gin in Hobart, Oklahoma. Bet you didn't know they have the largest gin in the state and the connections to get top dollar on your investment. They're located at the corner of Highway 9 and Highway 183, just north of Hobart. Be sure and check them out online. WesternPlantersCottonGin.com.
Right now, hay coverage is a big deal. You know, price of hay right now is very expensive. The ability to get hay right now, and when people get their hands on it, it's probably one of the most expensive assets that they have in their operation right now. And we can insure that hay for fire. I know there's been a lot of wildfires, and people have a concern for that. And then if you're an existing customer with us and you have a farm and ranch policy, you know, people need to understand that's not something that's automatically included. They would need to call and let our office know, you know, what coverage they need for their hay, and we can add that onto their farm and ranch policy. Even if you don't have business with us currently, we can write hay insurance.
Hi, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyards Weekly Cattle Sale. It's located on Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and do appreciate it.
From pump to pivot, Valley Water Experts can provide efficient turnkey pumping solutions for large or small operations. From identifying a source to remote management, Valley Water Experts have you covered with the most efficient and cost-effective solutions for all your water management challenges. Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com. That's Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
You've heard us talking about the 30-year-old ratchet that Napa replaced, no questions asked. A customer had a question about that particular transaction and that particular policy of replacing tools regardless of age. He walked into the Elk City Napa store and asked, "Do you guys really do that?" And the answer was, "We replaced two last week."
We try our best not to tell the customer no, but to find what they need. Napa Auto Parts of Elk City, 716 West 3rd. More parts for more cars.
We're living in just such a world of automated. You call somewhere and you've got to go through how many buttons and numbers to get to someone that maybe might know what you're talking about. First National Bank, you call one phone number, you get to speak to me. The ease and convenience, I think, for the customer, and then just the confidence that they leave knowing they've built a relationship with their banker, the staff as well, that they can call on for help. I'm Laura Carlucci, and I help make a difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
Oh, Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back. For Northwestern Oklahoma and the Northeastern Texas Panhandle, I've chosen the big town of Buffalo. Currently it's 95. Feels like 97, dew point 65, humidity's 38, winds out of the southwest at 10 miles an hour, sunset at 8:21, 99 today, 99 tomorrow, 101 Friday, 98 Saturday, Sunday, 90 degrees with a 20% chance of rain. So we got a little cool down period coming up. Also, I wanted to throw this out there. I'm going to throw this out here a couple times a week. You get on the mezzanet, you see the evaporation rates for short crops and tall crops, and I'm just going to briefly go over the short crop today. At Hollis, 0.33. Tipton's 0.34. Elk City's at 0.24. Arnett's 0.24. Basically, the rest of the state, you get away from the southwestern border of the Red River, everybody's in the 0.2 to 0.27 evaporation rates on short crops. So anyway, there you got. Well, in the studio with me today is Kent Watkins with SEI Agritech. We've been talking about the five pillars of soil health, and he's been talking about the starter fertilizers, and we'll just pick it up from where we stopped there.
Okay, so we were talking about different phosphorus fertilizers, polyphosphate, that for us that's 10-34-0. And then the orthophosphate, and that's what the starters were made out of. Phosphates don't move in the soil. So you would think of nitrogen, sulfur, and potassium to some extent being able to move and move down in the soil profile. Phosphorus, they're pretty much wherever you place them, that's where they're at, that's where they're going to be. The only way you're really going to move them is if you move the soil, turn, you know, you till the soil, then yeah, you're going to move them, but naturally they're just not going to do that. So the object of the game with a starter is to get that fertilizer in furrow directly with the seed so that when it germinates, it's got everything it needs to go. In wheat, for all cereal grains, for that, for the most part. But let's just talk about wheat. Your best yield for that wheat is determined in the first 45 days of that plant's life.
Okay.
Now, there's lots of things that can happen to take yield away, but if it's missing things
from the get-go,
You've already lost some yield. Now, how much is yet, you know, we can't really determine, but we do know that you're not going to add more than 10% to a yield no matter what you do if you're playing catch-up. If you're trying to double up and catch-up, you'll never. It's a rescue treatment, and it'll never work out for you. It just doesn't. And now everything is so expensive, it really doesn't work out now. So if you're planting wheat, and let's say you decide you want to take a field all the way to harvest, it really doesn't matter what wheat you choose, what variety you choose, as long as you use a good one that's pretty up close. And realize that all of those wheat varieties have the genetic potential of doing more than 200 bushel per acre. Well, out here dry land, we're doing 25, 30. If you're going to do that and you're content with that, you're not going to be in the game very long because it's just too expensive. So instead of doing that, give the plant what it needs. Play it like a hand of poker. If everything looks good as you go, do whatever else the next step is. And if things look bad, stop, fold, and take what you can get. So the phosphate, the orthophosphate fertilizers are by far the best way to get phosphorus, a starter nitrogen, and starter potassium to that young plant right off the bat.
Well, you talk about yields and stuff like that. With the equipment cost, fertilizer cost, seed cost, I don't know what percentage higher it is than it was, say, for 80s or 90s. From back then, it's a lot.
I would say a double.
Yeah, at least. Mm-hmm. And you talk about that. Why wouldn't you want to improve your yield to make up for some of that percentage of output cost, yeah, or input cost?
You would, but people are visual. So They can't see what's going on in the soil profile, so they don't know if it was really that or not. But they understand how the new guidance and yield monitoring and all that, they can see that, so they gravitate more to that equipment side when that's not going to make them one more bushel. It's not going to make them one more pound of cotton. It's not going to do any of that. It's going to be able to track it all better. It's going to be able to harvest it better, probably, plant it better. But as far as yield, it's all about what's going on in that soil profile and fixing whatever is lacking or wrong in that soil profile.
Before we go to break, I have a text that I like to read.
Okay.
In the early 90s, a pivot manufacturer sold several pivots in Saudi Arabia. And they were drilling wells that were 3,000 foot deep, but were only pumping from 150 foot. But the crazy thing was, to keep the sand from blowing, they were spraying diesel on the sand.
There you go.
And you're right the way you say that. The crazy thing they were doing.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah. They had so much oil. They, over there in the 80s, they were hitting oil long before they were hitting water in the desert.
Right.
When they were drilling wells. Yeah.
Right. So, yeah. Anyway, well, we're going to take a break. When we come back, I want to pick up on this fertilizer deal. I'm going to ask Ken a question that I want to ask him about these starter fertilizer. We'll be right back after this, and I'll have your Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast, and I'll have some information on some Taylor Ranch beef for you. Be right back.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
You got to get your oil changed, but taking time out of your day can be a hassle. We've got your answer. We'll come get your vehicle, service it, and bring it back to you. You keep living your life, and we'll take care of the legwork. Any make or model, no matter where you bought it, just give us a call and make an appointment. We'll come get it, do the work, and bring it back to you. Make your life a little bit easier with a no-hassle oil change, where that is the Barber Dyson difference. Only at BarberDysonFord.net.
Night drivers sure are valuable, and Canyon is offering you a new pay rate. Canyon Oilfield Services is hiring night drivers with Class A CDLs at their Hinton and Chickasha locations. Health, dental, vision and life insurance, a retirement plan, vacation, and a longevity bonus. Now they're offering a new pay rate, and it's excellent. Night drivers, call 580-729-3297. 580-729-3297.
We're the company where employees decide to stay. At Canyon Oilfield Services, the key word is service.
The Elk City Rodeo is more than just a rodeo. It's getting together with family and friends, standing up for the American flag and for what's right. Pride in who we are. This is Wayne Brooks inviting you to the 85th anniversary of the Elk City Rodeo, September 1st, 2nd, and 3rd. Brought to you by Duck Gray Dodge and Ram. Tickets are on sale online at ElkCityRodeo.com and at Circle A Western Wear. The Elk City Rodeo, September 1st through the 3rd. The Great Elk City Rodeo. See you there.
And ranchers, listen up. It's time to make your life easier with the Hay Wagon from Everett's Welding and Repair in Visalia, Oklahoma. The Apache Hay Wagon hauls multiple bales of hay and helps reduce waste. Less waste means more money in your pocket. It'll pay for itself over time, plus make your life easier. What a deal. See all they have to offer at everettswelding.com. Again, that's everettswelding.com. And be sure to check out their ads inside the Penny News.
Cattle have to eat. When grass runs short and you want to strengthen your herd, go with HiPro. For HiPro, go to Cowman's. Cowman's Feed and Ranch Supply in Erie specializes in bulk feed. It's always in stock and prices are good. And the way they take care of you is even better. If Gary Mills says he'll do it, it gets done every time. It's nice to know a place like Cowman's is around to help ag producers here at home. Cowman's Feed and Ranch Supply, 117 West 2nd in Erie. Call 526-3070.
Once again, Drew Cobb back in the studio, running you through that Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, August 18th. 1,410 head were sold. 9 head of steers at 354, brought 322. 4 at 449, brought 292. 8 at 514, brought 277. 5 at 542, brought 279. 7 at 648, brought 243. 5 at 709, brought 220. 10 at 729, brought 246. 16 head of heifers at 401, brought 306. 8 at 441, brought 260. 4 at 504, brought 244. 9 at 566, brought 237.50. 7 at 6 611, brought 225, 4 at 639, brought 216, 10 at 1,002, brought 203, butcher cows were 3 to 129, butcher bulls brought 82 to 136.50, bred cows were 1025 to 2300, pairs brought 1825 to 2150, Elk City Livestock Auction 3202 South Highway 6, Elk City, Oklahoma, sale every Friday at 9 a.m. to consign. Call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095. That's 580-497-6095.
He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
I got a couple things for you. First, let's do the Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger Forecast. And I'm going with the big city Hobart today, capital of Kiowa County. Currently, it is 96 degrees, feels like 98. Dew point 63, humidity 33, no 24-hour rainfall. The winds are out of the northeast at 4 miles an hour. Sunset 8:16. We're losing sunlight. 103 today, 105 tomorrow, 105 Friday, 106 Saturday, 101 Sunday. Sounds like a great forecast, doesn't it, Kent?
Yeah, it sounds wonderful.
Well, today is the Taylor Ranch happy hour. All cattle are not the same. Just like in people, our genetics determine our traits. Some people are tall, some short, some have blonde hair, and so on. It's the same in cattle. Cattle are not the same genetically, especially when it comes to making a good steak. Some cattle just make better steaks than others because they have the right genetics. Taylor Ranch has been working on their carcass genetics for over 17 years to develop animals that excel in both flavor and tenderness to give you that mouth-watering best steak in your life eating experience. They develop every animal as if it were going to be served on their own table. That's Taylor Ranch, selling quarters, halves, or whole beef, third-party verified all-natural hormone and hormone-free, and also available. Let's start that line all over again. Third-party verified all-natural and hormone-free, also available. 405-609-4662, 405 609-4662. Well, my boss, Mr. Blake Brewer, sent me a picture from a mower and a tractor burned up there in the median on I-40. And the first thing that came to mind was Jesus that worked for Jimmy Taylor. I could see this guy calling his boss, "Too much smoke, Jimmy, too much smoke."
Too much smoke.
Anyway, it didn't look like it had a cab on it. And it had shade on it, but not a full enclosure cab. So it could have been intentional fire on a day like today. You never know. So anyway, we got that going on. And I have a pair of tickets to go to the Elk City Rodeo of Champions on Friday night, September 1st. It's a pair. And the first person to text in which two varieties of fertilizer, starter fertilizer, have we been talking about, the phosphate part. There's two varieties out there. If you just guess one of them, that'll be good enough. So the first person to text that in, and you want to go to the rodeo here Friday night, it'll be a week from this coming Friday, I will put your name on them and let you know that you want them. So Kent and I were talking starter fertilizer. So I got a question for you.
Okay.
We've been talking about grain. We've been talking about wheat or rye or triticale or barley, whatever. Is starter fertilizer recommended for everything else too?
Yes, and the two products that I'm going to talk about here in a little bit are recommended as starters in furrow, but you can also use them foliar as well.
Okay.
with no burn whatsoever.
Okay.
So we're going to talk about this thing again next spring when it's time to plant cotton or corn.
Okay.
Or whatever. So yeah. Yeah, we're going to use these same products.
So is it good for legumes too?
Yeah.
Like if you're getting ready to plant alfalfa here in the next 2 to 3 weeks, if
right.
we got rain, is
yep.
it good for that?
Yeah, you would want to use a low nitrogen and a high phosphorus starter for that. The good thing about these that we're going to talk about today, if you buy a mini bulk of it or if you buy a semi-load of it and you have some left over, it's you don't have to sit there for a year waiting on another crop to use it. You can use it as a foliar again on this crop, or you can use it in the spring on another crop.
I got you.
So you're not tying up tanks and all that other stuff with these products.
Okay. All right.
Okay, so SEI Agritech is a nature's fertilizer dealer. They have approximately 30 products. We're going to talk about two as a starters. The first one is called Triple Option. And if you're an OU fan from the 70s, you know what that means.
Yeah, the wishbone.
Greg Pruitt and the wishbone.
You got her.
It is a 4, 13, 17, and 1 sulfur. It is 100% orthophosphate. And it has Bio-K with it. Now, he talked about Bio-K yesterday. That's basically carbon. That is either a fulvic acid or a humic acid. Fulvic acids are kind of to themselves. Humic acids, there's dirty ones and there's clean ones.
Right.
The ones they use are clean. They're clean. You'll never have a problem putting it through the orifice on a drill. Never. And that carbon will help sequester and hold up in low organic matter soils like we have out here. It'll help hold up that fertility so that it doesn't get away from, you know, if you get a bunch of rain like we had this spring, it won't let it leach down out of the rooting zone. If you look at cotton out there right now, it looked horrible up until about a week ago, and then it started growing and looking a little better. Even though we hadn't had any rain to amount to anything, what happened? It finally caught up, the root system finally caught up with all the nitrogen that had it leached, you know, a foot or two deep. It's all caught up with it now. And now it looks better. It's probably a little bit too late, but nevertheless, that's what happened. That's the first starter fertilizer. The next one is called Green Flag. It is an 8-21-5. So let's assume you were going to start with some alfalfa. That would be the one I would choose. It's lower in nitrogen. It's really high in phosphorus. It's got a little potash with it. It is a 90% orthophosphate.
Okay.
So it is 90% of that 21 is available to that plant right now. And the other one, that's a 4-13, 13%. So for every 100 pounds, 13 pounds of phosphorus was available to it. People say, that don't sound like a lot. It's not, doesn't have to be, because it is in furrow with the
seed.
It doesn't have to be a lot.
Gotcha.
So it'll save you money over broadcasting fertilizer like that. A word of warning on these starter fertilizers. They are not compatible with UAN 28 or 32. So make sure your tanks are rinsed out. Make sure your drill system is rinsed out and start clean, and you won't have a second's trouble with them. If somebody wants to talk about it, give me a call. We can get you totes, or we can get you semi-load lot to your tank. The other thing that I would tell you, we got a lot of rain this spring. The rains came too late to make a lot of seed wheat and those kinds of things. So seed is still somewhat tight this year, not as tight as last year, but somewhat as tight. So if you haven't made arrangements for seed, whatever you're choosing to plant, you might want to think about starting
to
do that.
You need to get on it.
Yeah, because it's going to be tight again this year. At SEI Agritech, we'll have triticale and rye will be our two, because I'm focusing on pasture is what I'm focused on. We'll have the other components to go with that, but triticale and rye will be the small grains.
I got you.
So,
well, they talk, planting a lot of alfalfa. And important thing was when you fertilize for, I've seen so many people put down a lot of nitrogen with their P and K down, you know, get ready for putting alfalfa in. And alfalfa, it needs a little bit of nitrogen to help it get started. But I could see how the starter fertilizer for alfalfa in the furrow would be awesome, because number one, it's right there. And number two, the plant will get bigger quicker,
right?
Or get its start up on quicker, and that's important, especially if we don't get any rain for another month or so, and you get in late start on your alfalfa, because what's the old myth? 3 to 4 leaves on your alfalfa, yeah, or you're going to freeze out.
That's right. And then the other thing, it's low salt, so you're not going to put so much in the seed furrow that you're going to kill the alfalfa either.
Right.
You know, on germination with high salt content.
Yeah,
because
I know for a fact from experience, salt is not, and alfalfa don't go together.
They do not.
They do not go together. And I learned the hard way.
Yeah.
So anyway, Ken, how do they get a hold of you?
You can come by the store at 1400 South Randall in Elk City, or the phone number is 580-225-0317.
All right, thanks for coming on today.
Appreciate it.
All right, see you guys later. It's the Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark. God bless.